put on my hair stewardess voice.
This is Friday, November 2nd, 10:30, the Abolishing ICE and Abolishing White Supremacy, How Media Shifts the Narrative of Our Movement, with Ella Mendoza.
Así como el movimiento se mueve rápidamente como nosotros, pues así también nos movemos nosotros.
All right, I think, is that all of us? Are we good? Are we here? We're here. Welcome! would you like me to use the mic? It's okay.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Just feels weird sometimes. It's like, oh, there's somebody else. All right. Well, welcome so much, and thank you so much for choosing this workshop. This is Abolishing ICE and Abolishing White Supremacy, How Media Shifts the Narrative of Our Movement. I want to start by saying, Imainala, hello. And thank you so much for being here. My name is Mariela Mendoza, but I go by Ella for short. Honestly, I started going by Ella because white people couldn't pronounce my name, and I was like, I'm actually sick of you butchering it. We're just going to go by Ella. but I've been recently trying to reclaim that back, and it's like, it's okay. If you can pronounce it. If you can't, you know, it's cool. I'm going to start by introducing myself, a little bit about myself. Because I've been told recently that introducing myself is actually a really good way to understand where this is coming from and what abolition means to me. So my name is Mariela Mendoza. I was born in Lima, Peru. I'm undocumented. I came to this country when I was 12 years old with my father. My father took me from my mother when I was 12 years old and decided that he would bring me here. Because patriarchy teaches us that in order for a child to be successful as they're growing up, they must be away from their womb. And they will learn better that way, right? So when I was 12 years old, I crossed these borders, came here with my father, and lived in a very abusive household growing up. Just a little bit of a content warning, I won't get graphic, but my story is really sad. By the time I was 19 years old, my body had experienced a lot of different traumas. I'm a survivor of domestic violence, I'm proud to be one. I'm a survivor of sexual assault, I'm proud to be one. And at the age of 19, I decided to leave home. I ran away from home and was living on the streets for about a year and a half. That was really hard. Years passed and I would sleep in bathrooms, in Walmart, and fast food places. A lot of people ask me how I survived that, and I honestly don't know. Sometimes when your body is going through trauma, your body will do things that you don't even realize is doing, and then years from now you will look back and think, wow, how did we do that? I don't know. When I was 23, DACA came out. And in a lot of ways, DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, actually completely saved me. It completely spun my life around. I live in Utah. I was born in Peru, but I live in Salt Lake City, Utah. Salt Lake City, Utah is a state that is 90% white. No one would hire me without a work visa. No one would even give me the benefit of the doubt. So DACA changed my life around, literally just turned it around, made it so that I had access to a job, made it so that I had access to safer spaces, and made it so that I could start naming what had happened to me. By the age of 25, I realized that a lot of the problems, a lot of the things that had happened to my body, a lot of the traumas, were inherently linked to white supremacy. Not only were they inherently linked to white supremacy, but they were linked to colonialism. Not only were they linked to colonialism, but they were linked to capitalism. So I decided to become a climate justice advocate. There was a local project in the town that I live in Salt Lake. There was a local project, a tar sands project, where they were trying to build the first operational tar sands mine in the United States. We stopped it. We stopped it. It took us 4 years of direct action organizing nonstop. We made that company go bankrupt. After doing that, I started traveling a little bit. Went from tar sand site to pipeline sites. Lived in Standing Rock for a bit. Lived there for 4 months. Experienced a lot of riots. Experienced a lot more trauma. Through it all from an undocumented abolitionist lens. And realized that the thing that breaks the thing that is trying to break us is us. We are the thing that breaks the thing that is trying to break us. A lot of the work that I do is tied to not just my indigeneity, but the indigeneity of those around me, the indigeneity of the land, the origin of the land, the state of the land before all of this shit happened. And something that my aunties have taught me is that when they ask you, where are your weapons? You answer, I am the weapon. When they ask you, why ain't you praying? You answer, I am that prayer. My actions are my prayer. So I come to you in this presentation from not just an undocumented lens, but a proud survivor of so many things that have tried to kill me, but also a queer, femme, brown abolitionist lens. Thank you so much for being here. Not just from me, but from the womb that gave birth to me and from the womb of my womb, from the mountains that gave birth to myself, Imanala and Anyaki Supaiki. Thank you. We're gonna start. So this is our suggested agenda. We don't have to follow it, but if this is the agenda that we all like, we can totally follow it. I wanted to start with, what is abolition? Just giving little simple definitions from Asada Shakur to Harsha Walia, how abolition is for everyone. Why abolish ICE? What is media? I think maybe get in a little bit of breakout groups so we can have a little bit more of a conversation rather than me just yelling at the room. and then the group brainstorm session. Does that sound all right? Is that something that we're interested in? Okay, great. Let me chug along then. What is abolition? What is abolition? Let's get some voices in the room. Other than my voice. What is abolition? Anyone want to shout something out?
Dismantling a system of oppressive power.
Yes, okay. Dismantling a system of oppressive power. So it says. The action of abolishing a system, practice, or institution. So basically, yes. So abolition is coming from the practice of the action of abolishing a system, practice, or institution.
Woo. Let me just double check my notes to see if I'm on schedule. Okay, we are on schedule.
So I wanted to show you all two of my personal heroes, Asada Shakur from Harsha Walia. Who here knows who Harsha Walia is? Anyone? No? All right, who here knows who Asada Shakur is? Yeah, okay. That's good. She deserves a recognition. So I wanted to share with y'all this quote from Asada. Every day out in the street now, I remind myself that black people in America are oppressed. It's necessary that I do that. People get used to anything. The less you think about your oppression, the more your tolerance for it grows. After a while, people just think oppression is the normal state of things. But to become free, you have to be acutely aware of being a slave. Asada Shakur. So when we read this quote, what does this quote make us think of? What does it spark in our brain? What does it make us, like, feel? Just guide on feelings. How does it make us feel?
How I might be and my peers might be unconscious. conscious about the way that we experience slavery every day.
Right.
So no matter what we have as an identity, we, there are ways that we're enslaved.
Right.
Capitalism.
Right.
I think of Harriet Tubman saying that she could have saved thousands more if they had known they were slaves when she showed up.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I think about how I also contribute to this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
All right. Let's read this other quote. So before I go to the quote, maybe I'll introduce Harsha a little bit since not a lot of folks know her. Should I introduce Asada as well? Would somebody like to introduce Asada? Should I introduce Asada for folks that maybe do not know her? Okay. So Asada Shakur is an abolitionist who was falsely accused of being a murderer. She spent time in jail. And is right now on the FBI watch list as far as the person that is actually having a bounty on their head. The FBI is literally hunting her. And she's literally this grandmother in Cuba. She fled to Cuba to save her life. Because the FBI, when it started coming after black revolutionaries, specifically black abolitionists, it just started punishing them to the point where Asada had to run, you know? And Asada right now is living in Cuba. This is a really bad, this is a really butcher. Y'all should just look her up if you don't know who she is. She's just magical. If you've ever read her autobiography, what I really love about her autobiography is that it's so accessible. It just breaks it down. It's so easy to read. And by the end, but when you finish reading it, you're honestly just like, how could anyone question freedom? How could anyone not question the way that this world is? And how could anyone question freedom, right? And yeah, again, really butchery description of who Asada Shakur is, but y'all should just look her up because she's amazing. Then the slide is by Harsha Walia, migrant woman currently living in Sokol, Canada, who is one of the lead members of No One Is Illegal up there. And let's just read the quote. To me, abolition and decolonization are strong and necessary frameworks, though we have to be cognizant of the critiques about their co-option in ways that no longer root them in the specificity of black and indigenous struggles. Decolonization has become a metaphor for everything, like decolonize the academy, or to colonize your mind without necessarily centering anti-colonial struggle, indigenous nationhood, and the repatriation of the land. So the reason I put these two quotes back to back is because there is a big problem in our movement with talking about abolition. There is a big problem in our media making, in the way that we assess the system, and in the way that we say abolish. What Harsha is naming is not just assimilation, but it's also the tokenization, the fetishization of the word abolition when it comes down to black and brown bodies. Because there's something really cute, right? Through a white supremacist lens, oh, this cute little queer brown kid just got abolish ICE! But there's also something really disgusting about the way that our truth is not our truth until it becomes a hashtag. Our death does not matter until our voices are screamed, until people scream our name, our names are not valid. There's something really, really disgusting about the way that until something becomes popular and digestible and swallowable, we refuse to chew it. I'm gonna
go to my best next slide. My best slide. My next slide. From Middle English, abolition. From Middle French, abolir, to abolish. From Latin, abolere, destroy, cause to die out. Present active infinite of abolio, destroy, abolish. Abolesco, to wither, to decay. Let's really sink into that. Abolesco, to wither and to decay. From ab, from away from, plus olio, to grow. Abolish literally means taking that olio, taking that growth, and adding ab to it, departing from that growth. And not just departing from that growth, but unearthing that growth. Digging deep into the roots of what has caused these systems to exist in the first place, and unearthing them. So when we say abolish ICE, we're not saying we want ICE to be a little bit better and maybe hire a few queer cops and maybe I'll feel a little bit better about my existence and actually could you throw in a few people of color. Oh, there's already some. Oh, that's great. Okay. We literally need from ab to olio to abolesco to wither to decay. What does it mean to unearth? How can we unearth? What can we unearth? What can we ungrow? And then what do we do when what is planted threatens to kill our very essence, our own selves? To me, a conversation about abolition is a very simple one. It is not a conversation about policymaking. It is not a conversation about laws. It is a conversation about what do you do when something is threatening to kill your very essence, yourself? It is a conversation about what do you do when someone puts a gun to your head, what do you do then? As of right now, my friend has been in a detention center for about 2 weeks now. He was taken by ICE on his way to the Black Mesa campgrounds where he had been helping indigenous elders rebuild their hogans. His name is Abraham, and he is one of the strongest, bravest persons I know. He's my roommate. He's my older brother. He is only visible to me through a computer screen now. And if I can't convince a judge that his humanity is human, he will be gone from me. And because I'm undocumented, I can't cross those borders to go see him. Just like I couldn't cross those borders to go to my grandfather's funeral. Just like I couldn't cross those borders for 13 years that it took for me to reunite with my mother. The conversation about abolition needs to not go forward with the why not, but the why. The obstacles ahead of us are obvious, but so is the answer. When something threatens to kill you, what do? Let's have a little bit of pop-up. How does that make us feel? How are folks feeling? Let's do a little bit of a feels check, actually. How are folks feeling? We feel good. Are we staying on track? Let's check if we're staying on track. All right. We're gonna go into numbers. So I guess this is the part in the workshop where I explain to you why ICE is so evil. I don't think I need to explain to you why ICE is so evil, because I don't inherently believe an institution or a thing to be of evil, but I do believe that it is of a white supremacist agenda. I can't tell you what is good or what is evil. I can't tell of myself if I'm good or evil.
But I can tell you that it is of a white supremacist agenda and nature. There is a nature to what we are facing. And what we are facing is the construct, the product of 500 years plus colonialism. What we are facing, what we are living in, is a product of 500 years plus white supremacy. And the way that they are killing us, very literally killing us, is unacceptable. And if we believe it's unacceptable, then we should deem it so. Because we have the power. We are in a room full of cultural changers, cultural shifters, innovators, activists, and artists. And we have the power. So why would we not? Why would we not abolish ICE? So for this question, and start getting into media work a little bit, I wanted to ask folks if they wanted to get into groups. Does that sound like a good idea? I just feel like I've been talking so long. I don't want to yell at y'all this whole session. I just really want folks to just, you know, get to know each other and talk to each other. Also, I am very aware that I am in a room full of brilliant minds, brilliant people that have traveled for many, many, many ways, many directions. And I just really want to honor that. So I would love it if we could get into groups and learn from a little bit from each other. So let's do groups of five people. Just grab some folks. Come together. I don't know how I feel about the Beatles sometimes, but come together. Run now. A long time talking about abolitions. Now we're going to move into what is media. I'm going to put up a few prompts up on the screen. There's only a little bit of time left in our session, so I'm just going to rush through it. What is media? All right. Between your group, if you would willingly like to, only if you would like to, please discuss the images on the screen. How they make you feel, how they make you energize. Maybe some of them you don't like. Maybe you can critique a little bit, like, oh, those lines could have been a little bit straighter on that banner. I don't know, those lines are pretty straight. I don't know, room full of artists, that's immediately what we jump to. Let's face it, let's be real. Yeah, and let's spend 2 minutes on that. Ready, set, go.
Exactly. that's kind of how it is. But it's feathers in that purple. I was like,
much of my work is about analyzing and messages, friends, and others on my side, all kinds of work. And so it's hard for me to look at this and not look at them from a, like,
All right, we're going to keep the conversation going, but next slide. Keep it moving.
Let's do two more minutes. One more minute. All right, let's bring it on back. Bring it on back. Bring it on back. Let's 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 bring it on back.
So, I really hope that the conversations in these group discussions have been much more useful to you than anything that could have come out of my mouth. but at the same time, I would like to end this presentation with these parting thoughts. There was this one night after I'd been living at the Standing Rock Reservation for around 2 months. There was this one night when I remember being in the yurt at a women's and non-binary's council meeting, and someone came in rushing and said, "They're coming. Everyone needs to get out now." And we went to the bridge, and there was police everywhere, and there was tanks. Just so ridiculous to think about. I thought it was ridiculous then. I don't know if I think it's so ridiculous now. But I remember being soaked in water, staring up ahead, a bunch of us, all undocumented, all queers, holding each other, our jackets soaked, and thinking of how hopeless it was, how they were going to build that pipeline. And later on, I remember sitting in a hotel room. My lungs were sick from the tear gas and from the bronchitis, and looking at the pictures and realizing that for one shining moment, we were an unstoppable force. I think that when we think something is set in stone, we give it that power. When we assume something is forever, we give it that power. When we assume that things are as the way that they should be, we give it that power. So I want us to leave this workshop with that critical analysis of what is permanent? What is impermanent? How together we can become an unstoppable force. Even cold, even sick, even tired, even queer, even trans, even non-binary, even all of your identities, all of the different colors and melanins in your skins, all of the different ways that your ancestors came together to bring you alive today, how are you marching forward from this workshop as an unstoppable force? Thank you so much for coming. Wonderful rest of your conference.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if you would like to linger for any questions, anything, just please.